The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, this week's message.
Before I read my passage this morning, I'd like to announce that on September the 26th, that's a Saturday, September the 26th at 10:30 a.m., Sovereign Grace Chapel will have Pastor Paul Mahan from Central Grace Church in Rocky Mount, Virginia, preach for us. That's on September the 26th at 10:30 a.m., Pastor Paul Mahan from Rocky Mount, Virginia. So if you have an interest in these things and you desire to hear the gospel of Christ, then come out and be with us and hear Brother Paul Mahan preach. My text for this morning is found in John chapter 12, just two verses, John 12, verse 23 and 24. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." That's my passage for this morning. I want to try to speak about the fruit of Christ's death. That's the fruit of Christ's death. The substitutionary sacrificial death of Jesus Christ was not an attempt by Christ to accomplish anything. Christ did not die to make salvation possible if men would then do other things, if men would repent, if men would believe. That is, Christ did not die so that if man would do something, then salvation would be possible. God Almighty, God manifest in the flesh, never tried to do anything. The saving results of Christ's substitutionary sacrificial death is not dependent upon the corrupt will of fallen, sinful men and women. You see, the God who ordained the workings of the natural elements, the God who controls and sustains all natural order, that is this Jesus Christ. And this is what Christ is talking about here in John 12, 23 and 24. He's talking about his death. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." He, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, is the Creator. And he created all things, and all natural order is under his sovereign control. We read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "And God said," that's none other than Jesus Christ himself. "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and an herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day." You see, God Almighty ordained and created the workings of all the natural elements, but he didn't just wind it up like a clock and throw it out there to go on its own. He also controls and sustains all natural in order by his immediate involvement. We read that in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." You see, the God who ordained the workings of the natural elements and who controls and sustains all natural order, he is the same one who did this, illustrated the results of his death as, "But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Think about this. that when one plants this small kernel of wheat in the ground, when that wheat springs forth, it brings forth much fruit from that one small kernel. So Christ is illustrating here the results of his death. You see, God's if here is an if of cause and effect, not an if of mere possibility. The results of Christ's death are dependent upon Christ's death. That is, again, listen to what I say. The results of Christ's death are dependent upon Christ's death. His death guaranteed fruit. Fruit will come as the result of his death by sovereign design, just like the order of creation, just like God designed creation to bring forth as it does. And whether he sustains and governs and controls or whether he withholds, it's all within his sovereign design. So again, listen, God's if is an if of cause and effect, not mere possibilities. But if it die, did it die? Jesus Christ did die. This is a fact. This is the truth of Scripture, and it's also a fact of history. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So we see that the results of Christ's death are dependent upon Christ's death. His death guaranteed fruit. Fruit will come as a result of his death by sovereign design, by his sovereign purpose, by the sovereign purpose of God Almighty. To deny this is nothing more than rank unbelief. To reject this is nothing more than antichrist, to be against Christ. But here's the question. Here's the question. What is this much fruit? What is this much fruit? Our Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die," and he did die, "but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So the question this morning is, what is this much fruit? Emotional religion constantly begins with human numbers. They're fixated on human numbers. Their emotions draw them to human numbers. And there is something to be said, what we might say about numbers. Listen to Revelation, the book of the Revelation, chapter 7, and listen to what the Apostle John wrote here. He speaks of there being a time when 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel shall be sealed as the servants of God. But then in verse 9 of Revelation 7, he writes these words, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." But do you see this? A number which no man can number. I realize that there are those who mock those who preach the election of grace as though we're speaking about some small, rather insignificant number, but yet we read here it's a number which no man can number, a vast number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. God Almighty has chosen a vast multitude, but yet it's not the numbers that makes the difference. It's not the totality of the number that qualifies the fruit. What is the much fruit? Is it mere numbers? According to the Scripture, first of all, the first thing, the primary thing, is that when Jesus Christ died, he brought forth fruit unto God. That's the first thing. First of all, it's fruit that is Godward. Listen to what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 10 and 11. Listen, think about it. If a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So what is this much fruit? Listen to Isaiah 53 verse 10 and 11. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Do you see it? He shall see his seed. When Jesus Christ died for his people, when Jesus Christ offered his substitutionary sacrificial death, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see, that is, the Father shall see the travail of the Son's soul. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Many, not just few, not just a small, insignificant number, but justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And yet, this text is talking about Jesus Christ's death satisfying God the Father. This is the primary thing. This is the primary fruit of Jesus Christ's death. That is, what he did toward God, what he offered up toward God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to these words. We're talking about, what is this fruit? What is this fruit? First of all, it's fruit Godward. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Do you see that? The Lord Jesus Christ here brought forth fruit unto God. He given himself for us, that is his people, no doubt, but an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So first of all, this much fruit is fruit that he brought forth unto God. It's something that Jesus Christ offered not to men. Jesus Christ is not offered unto men. Jesus Christ offered himself up once unto God the Father as a sweet smelling savor unto God. And secondly, Christ's death. Now listen to me now. Christ's death was for a specific people. According to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, Jesus Christ died for those who were the enemies of God, the ungodly. Can you take your place there? He died for the enemies of God, the ungodly. According to our Lord Jesus Christ himself, in John chapter 10, our Lord Jesus Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep. This was the sole purpose of the fruit of Christ's death, that was to lay down his life for the sheep. And according to the Apostle Paul again, what he told the church at Ephesus upon his departing from them, recorded in Acts chapter 20, that Jesus Christ, that God Almighty, purchased the church with his own blood. So we see that, first of all, primarily, this much fruit accomplished by the sacrificial, substitutionary death of Jesus Christ is fruit Godward. It's something that God did toward Jesus Christ. But secondarily, Christ's death was for a specific people. It was for his enemies, the ungodly, for his sheep, for the church, for his people. But even more, it's not how many people. It's not the vast multitude. And we've seen it's a vast multitude, which no man could number, of all kinds of people. But it's not how many people that constitutes much fruit. But rather, it's to what degree does his death benefit all for whom he died? It is quality more than quantity. It's the quality of what Jesus Christ's death produced, not the quantity of people that it produced. It's the quality of his accomplished salvation, not the quantity of persons saved by his salvation. You see, here is the much fruit of his death. Let me give you at least 9 things, and there's much more than this. We've already read it in Isaiah chapter 3. He shall justify many, many. You see that? Here is the fruit of his death. He shall justify. Justification is a fruit of his death. Justified before God. Justified from the law. Justified from all things by which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. This is the fruit of his death. He justified many. Justification is the fruit of his death. We also read the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 that he died for enemies and reconciled them to God by his death. Reconciliation is a fruit of the death of Christ. He reconciled a people to God. So he justified a people. He reconciled a people. These are fruits of his death. It's not something that could take place later. It's what Jesus Christ accomplished when he died. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, and he did die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And we see that he justified a people. He reconciled a people. According to the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 9. And let me turn there and read what the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 9. And listen to it in verse 12. Here is another fruit of Christ's death. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, that is by Christ's blood. But by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Do you see that? Eternal redemption was obtained already. It's past tense. He entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So we see this fruit. Look at it, many. It bringeth forth much fruit. He justified. He reconciled. He obtained eternal redemption. But according to the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 10, Jesus Christ in his death also sanctified a people. Do you see that? He justified. He reconciled. He obtained eternal redemption. And according to Hebrews 10 and verse 10, he sanctified a people by the offering of his body once for all. Jesus Christ has accomplished these things. These are the much fruit of his death. He sanctified a people. And according to Paul in that same chapter, Hebrews 10 and verse 14, he perfected forever them that he sanctified. So you see it thus far? You see the much fruit? Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, what does it do? It bringeth forth, that is that very same corn of wheat, it bringeth forth much fruit. So he justified. He reconciled. He obtained eternal redemption. He sanctified and perfected a people by his death. But not only that, he redeemed a people of God. Listen to the Apostle John again in Revelations chapter 5. And listen to these glorious words. Revelations chapter 5 and verse 9. John was caught up and seeing this glorious thing before the throne of God, and he's seeing these people there, and he records it in John chapter 5 verse 9, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Do you see that? He redeemed us to God. Redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue, and people, and nation. Do you see that? So we see here both the quality and the quantity. But yet we see that the quantity, the glory of the quantity, has to do with the quality of the redemption that was wrought. Thou hast redeemed us to God. Not just redeemed us and made it possible for something else later. Has redeemed us to God. So this much fruit is, he justified a people. He reconciled a people. He obtained eternal redemption for a people. He sanctified and he perfected a people. And he redeemed those people to God. Now, look at here's another fruit. Here's another fruit of Christ's death. Remember what he said. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, and he did die, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So he justified. He reconciled. He obtained eternal redemption. He sanctified. He perfected. He redeemed to God. And according to Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, he healed. Listen. 1 Peter chapter 2. Who his own self, that is Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. You see, there are a people for whom Jesus Christ died, and when he died, he bore their sins in his own body. They were placed not only upon him, but they were placed within him. And he satisfied divine justice forever. He satisfied the holiness and the wrath and the law of God forever. And look at what Peter says. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. Listen, by whose stripes ye were healed. You see that? Not by whose stripes ye could be healed. Not by whose stripes ye may be healed. Not he received these stripes and ye can be healed. But by whose stripes ye were healed. We were healed by the stripes. So again, we see, what is this much fruit? He justified. What is this much fruit? He reconciled. What is this much fruit? He obtained eternal redemption. What is this much fruit? He sanctified and perfected a people forever. What is this much fruit? He redeemed to God. And what is this much fruit? He healed. This is all by his death. All of it by his death. But not only that, listen to Peter again. Let me turn to it. 1 Peter. And 1 Peter chapter 3, and listen to what the Apostle Peter says there concerning the death of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Do you see that? Do you hear the words? These are the words of the inspired writer Peter, the Apostle Peter. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The just for the unjust. Now you see, he died for the unjust. Are you unjust? Do you see your absolute need of justification before God? That's the kind of people he died for. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Do you see that? Here is one of these, the many fruit, the much fruit, the much fruit that he brought forth by his death. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. But how did he bring us to God? Men come up with all kinds of different answers, and different denominations will have different things they will tell you to do to be brought to God. But look at what he says. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. How? Look at what he says. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Do you see it? There's another part of the much fruit. He brought a people to God by his death. By his death. This is the representative substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. So we see that he justified. This is a part of the fruit. He reconciled. This is a part of the fruit. He obtained eternal redemption. This is a part of the fruit. He sanctified a people, and he perfected those that he sanctified forever. That's a part of the fruit. He redeemed a people to God. That's a part of the fruit. He healed a people by whose stripes ye were healed. He healed a people. And he brought a people to God. Do you see that? Isn't this much fruit? Here's already 8 things concerning the death of Jesus Christ. And I am but scratching the surface of these glorious, glorious truths. Now listen to also what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 1. Here's another part of the fruit of Christ's death. Colossians 1 verse 20. And having made peace. Do you see this? He's speaking about Christ here. Look at the context. You'll see it. And having made peace. How? Through the blood of his cross. Do you see it? Peace. Peace is the fruit. Peace is the fruit. And having made peace. How? Through the blood of his cross. And remember, his blood was shed once. Once for all. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or whether they be things in heaven, whether they're Jew or Gentile, bond or free, rich or poor, of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and people under heaven. Do you see this much fruit? That's a glorious thing. It's much fruit. So Jesus said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But, oh, what a glorious conjunction. But if it die, and he did die, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So what do we have? Just in this limited time that I have with you this morning, we've seen that in his death, he justified many. We see that in his death he reconciled enemies. We see that in his death he obtained eternal redemption for us. We see that in his death he sanctified a people and perfected them forever. We see that in his death he redeemed a people to God. We see that in his death he healed by his stripes by whom he were healed. We see that in his death he brought a people to God. And we see that in his death, in the death of Jesus Christ, he made peace and reconciled a people to God. So again, how glorious are these words. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What kind of fruit? First of all, remember, primarily, first of all, he brought forth, his death brought forth fruit Godward. And secondly, Christ's death was for a specific people, and he accomplished specific and guaranteed things: justification, reconciliation, eternal redemption, sanctification, perfection, redemption to God, healing by his stripes, a people being brought to God, and a people for whom peace has been made. You see, Christ's death for a people guaranteed the blessing of those people. It guaranteed it. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. But what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Who all? All of these people he speaks about here in the text. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So anything less than this, or anything more than this, is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I say? Anything less than this, and anything more than this, is not the gospel of Jesus Christ.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.